Mike, I had a question here. What did Jesus directly name that we should be beware of? Well, he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. So let's talk about leaven that we all have. We all have a tendency to have, and that we're supposed to beware of. What was that leaven? Well, we could read a verse where it says, leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And what we pronounce as hypocrisy would mean the practice to have a moral standard or belief to which our own behavior doesn't live up to. It's pretense. A person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion or pretending. And I certainly can have that tendency, and I think it's kind of universal. You know, we can put on our Sabbath face and meeting certain people. So today I want to talk about us being on guard, recognizing hypocrisy and also false doctrine that goes with it. And to keep our priorities in line with the true doctrines. Is this really what we are? And not to let doctrine or speculation adding to the scriptures to determine what doctrine is. And to beware of false prophets and their doctrines. Basically, I'd like to talk about most of that today. So we could read in Matthew 16:14. Matthew 16:14. And Jesus said, a wicked and perverse generation. Matthew 16, verse 4. What did I say? Did I say verse 4? Matthew 16, verse 4. They seek a sign. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. Well, that was the only sign given, and basically that sign is paid no attention to, it seems. But in verse 6, then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of that yeast. I mean, I'm putting yeast out, that's all important. But he's saying, beware of that yeast of the Pharisees. In verse 11, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? And verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The teaching. The doctrine, some translations may say teaching, what they were teaching. And I will turn over to Luke chapter 12. This brings this out more. Luke chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware, again, of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus has made a real point of something we need to beware of, and that is hypocrisy, pretending, simulated, insincere, looking good, but actually acting bad, you could say. But verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. In other words, we can put on a show. I can put on a show, be pretty convincing. You know, if you see something, I can put on a show like I'm shocked. Ugh! You know, oh boy, he was really shocked. No, he's putting on a show, you know. Nothing can shock that guy. But it says in verse 2, nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. In verse 3, therefore, whatever you've spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, like this is a secret, this is between me and you, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetop. News has a way of getting out. If you're gossiping about anyone or something, I don't know, it has a way of getting out. You know, it says beware. It would be like a simulation or pretending, insincere. And he began to say, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So that's the leaven of the Pharisees. So my title today I had was Leaven of the Pharisees. And my purpose is going to be to be aware of the sin of hypocrisy. I'm not saying to be checking out your neighbor and all that, but our own self. We all like to impress people. You know, I knew a guy that he was dating. He got engaged, but he never met the bride's parents. He's going to get to meet them. You know, he dressed properly, everything, haircut. This guy, you know, he was perfect. Going to meet the parents. Well, he goes to the bathroom. And when he comes out, he has his toilet paper hanging from his, like a tail. He made quite an impression, all right. So, you know, that's his thing. Well, what is that? I don't know what that was, I told. But it was, you know, it was, this was not a hypocrisy. My point was we try to impress people. And we should give the proper impression. Yeah, we should. And that was fine. The guy was trying to do the right thing. He wanted to impress the parents. And, you know, he had to go to the dad and, you know, the pressure there. So there is an impressing for the right reason. But it's not to impress to deceive someone. But we need to look at ourselves as God looks at us rather than trying to impress other people what we would like for them. Well, we'd all like to set a good example, and we should. Let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 47. It says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. In other words, he wasn't a perfect man, but pretending was not his prevailing way of life, his sin. It was not a governing sin. He was a man without guile. And it seems that Jesus kind of used a word play there. He said, an Israelite in whom is no guile. In other words, no decoy, no craft, no deceit, no subtlety. Can you think of someone in ancient times who was noted for that? Wasn't it Jacob? He deceived his father and, you know, under his mother's direction. And his name could mean decoy or trick, bait, crafty. But his name was changed to Israel. His name was changed from supplanter to, like the name Israel, to rule with God as a prince. So Jesus said, here's an Israelite without guile. Or it's like, that'd be like Jacob only becoming a different man without guile. So this is something that we need to be aware of and to remember the things that Jesus said to us. Yeah, and the commentaries, I was looking under Meyer's New Testament commentary, the allusion is to their peculiar sectarian views when he's talking about the Pharisees insofar as they deviated from the law. They pretended to support God's law, but they actually were deviating from it. And we know that we don't need to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away. And if you wanted to look at it later, you could. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him. And that's what they were doing. They were hypocrites. They added to God's law. They added to God to suit their own traditions. And Proverbs 30, verse 6, it also would say, add thou not to his word. And that's what one of the things he's doing. Barnes' note says, a little leaven starts small, but will grow into more. A little false doctrine on one part of the truth will spread throughout and keep leading to more false doctrines. Jesus was warning him, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. False doctrine has an element of truth. Why would it even be believed if it didn't have some truth in it? No. But can grow to a core belief. Little false doctrine can start out and it can grow until that almost becomes the core of the belief. And continuing, Barnes says, leaven, none can see it as it progresses. Can't really see it. So as with the doctrine of the Pharisees, they were in insinuating. An insinuation is more powerful than just a word. You insinuate something and you're innocent. You've insinuated it. And so you get off free. No. It's artful, plausible. They conceal the real tendency of the doctrines. They instill them secretly into the mind until they perverted all the facilities like leaven. So an insinuation can be planted and it will continue to grow. And without you actually, well, I never said that. No, you didn't. But of course, there are two types of biblical leaven. We know that. Matthew 13, 37. Kingdom of God be like leaven and it will grow. It starts out small and it will spread. And it spreads after Christ's coming, and even now. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. We see the sowing of the good seed. Matthew 13. Sowing of the good seed. So here's things that happen. Matthew 13, verse 24. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. He's sowing good seed. The seed is out there in his field. I think that this would mean here's good seed being sowed in God's field, right there in God's field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So you see, this was done under the influence of an enemy. Done under the influence of an enemy. And there was a good seed, God's ground, right there. And I've even read some commentaries that say that they actually, a person who was an enemy would secretly go in before the ground was even sown and plant the tares first. So that's like it's saying, in the night Satan places bad seed among the good. And of course, I'm reading from some commentaries, and don't get the thinking that we would base doctrine on commentaries. No, commentaries are good to give us an idea of the situation at that time, the culture, the climate, number of things, and how people reacted. Elcott's commentary under tares says a common form of Eastern malice, which this was a malice thing, or revenge, and it would easily escape detection. Your enemies, you could do some damage to him, and nobody knows who did it. The tares, or Daniel, grew up at first. Their stalks and blade looked just like wheat. You see green wheat's coming up, tares coming up. You can't tell them apart. I guess an expert, you could. I don't know. And it was not until fruitification, or it began to bear fruit, that the difference was easily detected. Once it starts getting the heads, bearing the fruit, the seeds of the tares were not merely useless as food, but were positively noxious. They were noxious to the ground, to anyone that got them, and they grew up right with the tares. Barnes says, an enemy came and scattered bad seed on the plowed field, perhaps before the good seed was even planted. Satan knows. I think that Satan knew before God actually came into your attention that he was going to do that. So there was tares sowed in your path, probably before you were even thinking of it. So they would grow up as deception. Satan sows false doctrine even before called has come to the truth. That's the way my few years of experience, what I have seen. His false doctrine is laced with truth. It's got to be laced with truth, or nobody's going to be caught up in it. In a very place, and it, as this commentary says, in the very place the truth is preached. In the very place the truth is preached. Those Pharisees, Sadducees, in the very place where people went to the temple. Elcott says tares. Well, I had read that one, so I don't need to go through that again, but I won't need to turn there, but Matthew 24, verse 24, false Christ can perform great signs. Yes. And false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, I'm sure we've all read that. I should maybe turn there if you like, you can, or I'll just read it. Matthew 24, 24. I think you're well aware of that. what Jesus said here. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. I think if you go around looking for a sign, should I do this or do that? I don't know. My experience is you're kind of getting set up for a trick. Because God's will usually be made pretty plain, straight out. And let's look at Acts 20. Now we're talking about bewaring of false doctrines. Acts chapter 20. In verse 30 and 31. Also, from among you yourselves, men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. So there's the motive. It's always that motive. There's not a whole lot of things feel better than power. I mean, it's fantastic to have power over people. To draw disciples after this, they'll be looking to them. Oh, a master or rabbi or pastor, whatever the culture is at that time. I was reading in in Acts 20, verse 30. Rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul warned people, and you know what happened in the first century? Yeah. Men arise speaking perverse things. We could go on and on this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just thinking about this, about the thing of hypocrisy. In other words, the false minister, the false whatever it is going to try to look as righteous as they can. What did the Pharisees do? Oh, they tried to outdo everybody in righteousness, didn't they? 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. See, the deceitful, that's hypocrisy. Workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's pure hypocrisy. Transforming into the apostles of Christ. And then verse 14, no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So there's who's behind this, to disrupt God's plan, to deceive people, and God allows it to a certain extent for a reason, as we're all tested in this. And we know that everyone that calls out to God doesn't mean that, oh yeah, that's one of God's people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Let's see, Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In verse 22, many will say to me in that day, that time, when whatever time that is for us as an individual, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not tried to spread your word in your name. We cast out demons. Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. That's what we're talking about. If we're looking for a sign, we might get the wrong sign as far as following directions in that. No, they never get, verse 23 says, and then I will declare them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That's violation. It says, you never got acquainted with me. That sounds like the Laodiceans. They were there and Christ asked to knock on the door. Will you open? Oh, they're too busy. No, they're not acquainted with Jesus. They got their God. They got their own righteousness. But they don't know Jesus. I saw something, whether you've heard it, Jordan Peterson probably got run out of the university in Canada. Educated man. But I heard him say this on TV. Do not attribute to the divine what is your own religion. Heard. You got your religion. Don't be claiming that that's God's religion. That's dangerous, isn't it? And I would like to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll see here, it says, laying aside all malice. That means really laying aside, not pretending to lay it aside, to look good. First Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, which is pretense, envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word that you may grow. Says the pure milk. We keep desiring the pure milk. We had the milk in the beginning, the basics, but we should be moving on to pure milk of the word. We're studying the word, progressing on beyond the elementary things, and you know, we're all listed, baptism and all, that's all we need to do. But is that the end? Then we're saved? Coming to us, see, grow thereby, and indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we're to be laying aside this malice, this pretending, this deceit, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk. Now, I thought I had something on here. I may have lost it that I wanted to read about, but it's in James. I believe it's James chapter 4. I may look. In James chapter 4, that's what I'm thinking about. Well, in verse 1, it says, word of wars and fights come from among you. Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your own members? So that's where a lot of our problems come from, is even hypocrisy, because we want our own way and we want to look very good for the wrong reason. So, just to reviewing my points here, be on guard recognizing hypocrisy. It's out there. It's already been sown before you were even aware that you what you should be doing. and keep our priorities to live a true life on true doctrine. There's a lot of doctrines that sound good. Are they true? We got to listen to Jesus. And how do you do that? Because this is His Word. You study the Bible. You go on. You learn more and more, and you keep growing in the Bible. And stay away from speculations where that builds doctrine. Well, it's okay maybe to talk about speculation. I do this. But you get into it where it starts building doctrine. You don't add to the Scriptures, which actually brings disrespect to God. And, of course, beware of false prophets. We'd like to turn to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. In verse 20. And just the verse before. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums or wizards. In other words, he's saying, when they say that, whoever these people are that sound good, and like even we saw some of them performing miracles, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? And then in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, they got to speak toward the law and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He testified before us. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. In other words, what Jesus says. What does He say? This book tells us what He says. That continues studying in that. So, brethren, my whole point in this time I spent is just to beware of false doctrine and hypocrisy, and to stay with the Scriptures, not adding to them and then making speculation into the truth.